If I'm trying to think like a scientist when designing a pedal, you want to have as many controls as possible. One of those controls is the sound of the guitar that you're using. I got into the NYXLs. They last longer, they work better, and they stay in tune for longer. Just a lot of things that make my life easier.
I know you guys hear it a lot, but it would really, really mean a lot to us if you could like and subscribe. Back to the rundown, boys.
Let's do it.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Perry with Premier Guitar here at the Basement East in East Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm here with the best looking guy in hardcore.
Oh,
what is up, Nick? How are you?
Appreciate it. I'm well.
Yeah.
Happy to be here. 80 degrees and sunny outside.
That's pretty much the going rate here in Nashville. It's always like that.
Yeah.
Feels like walking around in a dog's mouth, usually. It's very, very humid, but you guys got lucky because it's okay today.
Nah, it feels manageable.
Yeah, man. I'm excited for the show. I'm excited for your band. When I was growing up and playing in hardcore bands, it was, you did not deviate. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, it was a thing in the late 90s and all through the 2000s, like, you got to sound like this.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And it's been amazing as an adult to see how much hardcore is really become accepting of sounds that aren't traditional. You know what I mean?
I mean, agreed. Totally.
Yeah. So
totally.
That for me, I think is rad. And it also, I don't know, like Drug Church, for example, is fucking fun to listen to. You know what I mean? It's
not, I hope so. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely what we're trying to do.
I think
we all grew up in hardcore and it was a little bit later, but I think we felt that as well.
Sure.
And like, you know, we all liked those bands.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I also love like Belle and Sebastian and stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I get that. I can almost get that vibe from what you, because you're a jam dude, right?
Yeah.
Hasn't been the case the whole band though, right?
Like now, early on, it was Les Paul's. Me and Corey were kind of doing a similar thing. And yeah, I just don't think you need two of the exact same thing.
No, I actually love the juxtaposition of what you guys have going on.
Sure, yeah. We got humbuckers, we got single coils, solid state, tube.
Yeah.
You know?
And it fills out really well. Like,
I think
the soundtrack just sounded so good. Just big. You're like really, really big. How different is the gear that you play in Drug Church from like Military Gun? Is it like same stuff or would it be completely different?
I think it would, early on in that band, I think we had a conscious effort to like, just because the bands are like, you know, a little similar in sound and stuff like that. So we did have a conscious effort to like try to have me not do the exact same thing, but I just really love the gear that I like.
Yeah, you know? No, I get that.
It's hard for me to like play an amp that's not a jazz chorus these days.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Just like the responsiveness of it, like how punchy it is.
Man, it's funny because I personally think those are such a slept on amp, especially for a pedal platform.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's just so clean, you know?
So clean. There's like, you can turn it up to 10. There's no breakup. I mean, it's like a keyboardist amp. You know what I mean? So it's like, it is the perfect platform to try to do something funky,
sure.
Funky with.
Yeah, that's, I guess, kind of a new thing for people my age because, you know, early on it was like, you got to have a tube amp and you got to get your distortion from that amp and it's got to sound good. And now it's like a lot of people are approaching it in the way that you are and it just sounds so much better. It's like, what were we thinking?
I mean, I just don't think people were like, I think like the distortion on board is like, for all the right reasons, I think it's hated on, you know,
and it doesn't
sound great. So I think when people think about like jazz chorus and distortion, they immediately think of like the sound they got when they cranked that distortion up. But that's just not the case. I think people just need to find the right pedals to put in front of it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know at home you have some like really like vintage jams, but are these all custom jams?
That one's not. These two, the green and the red are.
Do you have a preference? Like, is this your number one?
This is the number one. Honestly, on this tour, I've been playing the white one just because, like, the years of touring, like, I don't know if you've ever seen videos, but I sweat I sweat a lot. I'm jumping around a lot.
You both, dude. I'm like the sweatiest guy on earth.
Yeah, as soon as I'm doing anything, my body's like, okay, like, let's sweat. Mm-hmm. So I've poured just like so much sweat and just like moisture into everything. So I've been trying to consciously give this one a break. So I've been playing that one a lot. But this is number one for sure.
Yeah.
And this has been on like every record since Hygiene. Yeah, Hygiene and everything past that has been mainly this guitar.
That's a really pretty one. Like, it's checking really well.
Yeah, it's cool. It's
Are those stock jam pickups?
Everything's stock. Pots have been replaced a couple times just because I sweat through them. But yeah, just the hand wound custom shop Jazzmaster pickups in all of this.
Oh wow, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you ever messing with this circuit?
No, but okay. but they're all connected. Like I'm a bit of a traditionalist when it comes to like I just like my guitars feeling like. How I imagine they felt out of the factory. So although I don't use it, it doesn't really get in my way, and I like knowing that it's there if I want.
Yeah, if you want it in the studio or something, you can totally play with it.
For sure.
Clay dots, so pretty.
Clay dots, yeah. 250K pots and everything.
Did they put the mastery in for you, or is that something you had to do?
No, so actually when I bought this guitar, it had the trem, and then I bought the bridge.
Yeah.
And then same thing with the white one.
Sure. It's a bit of a game changer, you know what I mean?
I mean, it makes them actually playable.
Right. You know? I mean, yeah.
I liked them prior, but it makes them actually playable.
I have a jam, and I really love it. It's fun and it looks cool and stuff. But yeah, without a roller bridge, without like the Mustang bridge or mastery or something.
I mean, I was just bouncing around saddles all the time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, mid-set, just having
out,
to adjust.
Yeah. And then also when you're tuning, you can even hear
ding. For sure. Yeah, like, for sure. There's buzz everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally. So. Are you changing just in the event that you break a string or something, or are there?
Yeah, I mean, like back to the sweat thing. Like I have to change strings pretty much every show. If I play two shows on the same strings, like I will break a string.
Do you have a heavy attack?
For sure.
Oh, okay.
For sure. Yeah. But yeah, changing every day. I have this one typically set up for drop D, and I'll break this out like 3/4 of the way through the set. One, because like obviously with Jazz Masters, everything's tension based.
Sure.
So it's a little bit more difficult to like down tune because then everything else goes sharp. So I'm like, you know, frantically trying to get everything to like sit right.
Well, it's nice that you have one that you can just leave set up.
Yeah, yeah. And then also like, you know, by 3/4 of the way in the set, the electronics are bogged down by moisture. Mm-hmm. And that's typically when we play
can
the
you hear
songs.
It?
Oh yeah.
No shit.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it might just be me and the front of house person, but.
Right. Well, no one's going to know your tone better than you do.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
You mentioned drop D. Like, are you guys in E standard?
E standard for everything. There's two songs in the set list that are drop D.
Wow. Like, I didn't expect that. I guess just my brain playing tricks on me because it sounds so much heavier.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing a lot of, like, the...
Yeah.
Which I think, like, in your brain makes it feel lower, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, well... It's a great place to start. These are beautiful. And then obviously we were talking about the jazz chorus, but how did you get turned on to these? Was somebody like, hey man, try it?
Well, so I was a Marshall guy. I think the last tour I used a Marshall on, it was like we had rented from Marshall and it was like the 1959 SLP, which is like kind of like the JMP, like Plexi Marshall. And that was giving me a bunch of problems. We were on tour with Title Fight at the time. And it was for their Hyperview album. So Shane was using Jazz Masters and jazz choruses. And a few of those nights on that tour, it was a European tour, we were having just like some issues and I plugged into his amp a couple times. And luckily I kind of have like a similar pedal board throughout the course of this band. So there was a rat on there.
Oh, so you already had some distortion that you could use.
For sure.
Okay.
For sure. So I just plugged into his rig and I thought it sounded like awesome. So I came home, this was probably 2015. I came home and immediately bought a jazz chorus.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I also just love the aesthetics of the jazz chorus. I think it looks so cool.
Yeah, I think they do look kind of cool. It's like a, almost
it's like riveted
everywhere. Yeah.
It's cool as hell.
So you're playing through this one and this is just a backup.
This is just a backup. There's been tours where I do a nice little like stereo AB rig.
Oh, that's nice.
But I kind of like the idea of just like one amp.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, unlike most hardcore bands, you guys are really, really chorus heavy. Are you depending on that chorus?
Yeah, I mean, I have this, I have the Neo, like a Neo clone on the board.
Yeah, that's why I was going to ask, because I saw it on the board and I'm like, well.
But that's only for like, I have it like the rate all the way up. So it's just making like a fast warbly sound. So I only use that a couple times in set, but the chorus is on the JC at all times.
At all times.
All times. Okay.
Maybe that has to, maybe that contributes to how fat you guys sound live.
I mean, I think so.
Because even if it's subtle, like a little tiny bit of modulation can really feel
for sure
big.
And like, you can hear it. Like if I'm playing a riff and I have no chorus on, like I love that sound too. It's like super, super in your face, super close. But as soon as like I flick the chorus on, it's still loud and it's still like very present in the mix, but it like, it kind of just like sits in the, it like immediately sits down in the mix in like the most perfect way.
Yeah.
Which
that.
Like that's the sound I'm just addicted to.
Like, can we hear the difference?
Yeah. It's loud.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm deaf. We're good.
So this is like no chorus. Kind of like soars in like a soars in a cool way, especially for leads, harmonics, feedback, everything sounds cool.
Man, because I grew up in the 90s, like I didn't always love chorus because it can be way overdone, but like, ah man, this new generation of hardcore bands using it in a good way really adds something, like, you know, higher power and drain and you guys, like,
for sure,
there's like so much happening in hardcore now that it's like, oh, this is such a treat for your ears. It's not just over the head, you know,
like being just relentlessly pounded by like 80s bands using these amps and hearing that sound a million times.
Which I do love that tone.
I mean,
that
for sure.
Crazy clean chorus.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. But I think it, like for leads and stuff, I think it makes it sit in the mix perfectly. Yeah.
Okay, so that distortion sounds really fucking good. Is that just the Tube Screamer?
No, it's like old Rat pedals. This one is like one from, I think they did it, it's like a reissue of the original ones from the late 70s, early 80s, but they reissued it in like the big box, because I guess that's what people wanted at the time. But it's like the exact innards of any Rat that would have existed in like the 80s and early 90s. So it has like the LM308 chip. That's kind of like the key.
Right.
If you're diving into like nerdy Reddit forums about Rat pedals, it's that.
Now, is that an on all the time pretty much thing? Or unless you're playing a clean part, obviously.
Yeah, there's a couple times I turn it off. It's kind of like, there's no LED on it, so it's kind of a struggle to
that must be a little tricky.
For sure, but that's typically on all the time. Tube Screamer's on all the time ahead of it. And it just kind of, the Tube Screamer for sure acts as like, I don't want to say like a compressor, but it tightens up like all the low end.
Oh, for sure.
Like I think the Rat kind of lacks, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I guess in my experience with Rats, they can be a little ice picky and a little high endy.
They can be a little unwieldy for sure. And for some reason, like, you know, starting off playing humbuckers into Marshalls, I still crave like a little bit of that sound.
Sure.
And I think just the TS9 in front of it just kind of tightens up everything about it. So like palm mutes are like chunky and tight.
Right.
As opposed
are
to
you
kind of like
using the TS9 more like a boost, or you actually like got some drive going on with it?
I mean, everything's set to like 1 p.m.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely boosting it a little bit. It's tightening up everything.
Yeah.
I would not want to not have it, you know?
It's definitely
essential.
It's the perfect trick for this kind of music.
For really sure. Yeah. And like where it is in the chain totally matters. You know, there's been times in the studio where like, I think Corey talked to you about John, our producer, engineer guy, John. But like sometimes he'll be setting up the pedal board.
And let's swap this order around and
see
what happens.
And it never works.
Yeah, no, it's gotta be like this.
It has to be exactly like that.
Okay, so the rest is kind of modulation based stuff. So are you running the noise suppressor right after the Rat and the Tube Screamer?
So it's volume pedal, obviously tuner out.
Sure.
So I'm going into the NS1X, and that's just kind of all the noisy stuff, overdrive and noisy stuff. So like the send goes to the TS9, goes to the Rat, goes to the chorus, goes to the phaser, and then goes to this, which is like a reissue of the old Electro-Harmonix 16-second digital delay.
Oh, a little like bit smaller, though.
Like
the
Nels Klein
gotcha.
Thing. But easier to use. And then So then that goes back into here, and then out of this just goes to the Ricochet.
Fun. Now for the Ricochet, is that, are you using that like as a momentary kind of thing, or is it?
No, I mean, like honestly, anytime I'm playing like single note leads, like I want to have that on.
Yeah.
Because it's, I mean, a lot of this stuff is just fun noise.
Can makers. We hear your rig with it and without it? Yeah, because that is kind of a fun thing to have
with,
for a lead.
With the Ricochet?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, for sure. So everything's really noisy, so I apologize.
It's almost synthy.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I that's an interesting tone. I like that. And goddamn, that noise suppressor is doing some heavy lifting, huh, bud?
Yeah, I you know, we again, I think Corey was mentioning this earlier. We were kind of allergic to noise suppressors for a while.
I get
that. I think they get a bad rap.
Yes, they do.
Especially growing up in, you know.
Metal and hardcore. Yeah,
yeah,
totally.
For sure.
I mean, honestly, it's just, it's essential.
It's a, it's a necessary evil.
If you're a pro touring band, you gotta do something.
For
you
sure,
can't just be
for sure.
A crazy.
And it's for sure on the new record, we have a couple songs where I just kind of need to be like tight and silent
sure.
in between stuff, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and you guys
so
have the advantage where
new.
It's not like, you know, staccato breakdowns or something.
For sure,
so you
for
can,
sure.
You can,
I feel for those guys. We grew up
sure.
In kind of what felt like an epicenter of like a, like that sort of music, like Recon and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So like
totally,
we
yeah.
have good friends that have like three noise suppressors on their boards.
Yeah.
And it's just.
one in the beginning, one at the end, and one on the.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fun. So you live in LA, but did you grow up in Albany or like with these
yeah,
guys?
Yeah, okay. So LA for the past 9 years, but okay. Upstate New York.
So the reason I ask is, you know, I know you guys do a lot of writing in studio, which is pretty uncommon, you know. Do you write riffs and then send them, you know, like are you exchanging riffs via like Dropbox or something like that? Or are there ideas in pre-production? Or are you guys just showing up to the studio like, hey, let's burn some money?
It's kind of like a,
you know what I mean?
It's kind of like a good mix. I think we're embarking on a new era right now just because for the last 9 years, my roommate has been Chris, who plays drums.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. He plays a pretty big part in like the whole writing process. So him and I would like obviously regularly get together at the practice space.
Well, that makes life a little more easy.
Yeah, for sure.
I see.
But
yeah.
It's always been kind of me demoing out some stuff and sending it around.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I kind of wondered how that happened. So then I guess if you guys have studio time, you just fly back to Albany and
Yeah. We kind of meet in either, you know, Albany or rural New Jersey where our producer John has a
yeah,
studio.
Yeah. Okay. That tracks. Yeah, man. His work is phenomenal.
Yeah, like, I mean, hey,
he's getting some great
sounds. We kind of came up together and it feels great cuz people want to work with him. It makes it a little difficult just cuz like he's harder to rein in now for us.
You know, right.
He feels like ours, but now he's on to everything. So.
Yeah, I get that. I guess before I let you go, can I just hear how this delay here?
Yeah, so I'm using that as like a, just like kind of like a fun.
Because it's blinking kind of fast.
Yeah. And I mean, there's so many like things that you can do with it, but I'm kind of just like using it as like a.
How fun.
Yeah. It's kind of like a, it's like a freeze that you can modulate a little bit
and kind of
have fun with.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, man, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time. I love, you know, seeing your band grow and kind of become a little more experimental, but still kind of staying true to Drug Church.
Sure.
And also, man, thanks for representing hardcore in like the best way possible.
We're going to appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Corey. Thank you so much.
Hey, y'all, I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. So our rig rundowns for a long time now have been sponsored by D'Addario. And I'm thrilled to be using the D'Addario Expand pedal board. I've got this little guy that fits in my gig bag, and like many of you, I'm changing pedals all the time. I love having a board that can shrink as I'm shrinking my board or expand as I'm expanding it. And that's why I love the Expand pedal board. Their patented telescoping technology lets me instantly change the size of my pedals playground. It also features a unique cable management system and comes fitted with loops of Velcro, keeping everything neat and easy to swap. The two Expand versions comes with either one or two rows, depending on your needs. So a big thanks to D'Addario. Now, let's get back to more rig rundowns.
All right, guys, now we're over here with Corey. my new friend. Hey, what's up, man?
Good to see you.
Good to see you. This is freaking awesome, dude. I am so excited about your band.
Thank you.
And I'm just blown away. You guys are getting such huge tours. Like, how was Deftones?
Deftones, crazy. Honestly, never thought we would do something like that.
Yeah.
Arena tours. I mean, we did some Blink 182 stuff in the States too. It was like kind of crazy. A band like ours probably doesn't belong on stuff like that, but
I don't know. I feel like, cool. You know, like bands like yours, I think are transcending hardcore and kind of fitting into new places. And I love that you're representing it well. So thanks for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, so before we hop in hard, like, I know that John, your producer, is kind of like the fifth Beatle for you guys, right? He has a lot to do with the writing process. And
John, it's just, we've worked with him so well over the years. We started, like, his band Such Gold took us out on probably one of our first tours.
Oh, he played in Such Gold, yeah.
Yeah, bass player. And we started working with him probably like 2017 and just became really good friends. And I think it's just, we get him, he gets us. When he has ideas sonically or structure wise or whatever, we're not afraid to tell him no, which I think is important. And he's not like put out by being told, no, that's not a good idea or whatever. So I just think it's just like, it's just friends hanging out, making music. Which I think is
best case scenario.
That's the best case scenario. That's what I think we all want it to be. And it's worked out. I mean, for almost 10 years now, he's been recording and producing and engineering and all that stuff for us.
Yeah, and like when I kind of started diving into him a little bit, he's doing Quicksand and some really big, like amazing.
He just did Quicksand. He's done, I mean, a lot of the Flat Spot Records bands. He's done some work with Drain. All those, I mean, pretty much anybody and everybody right now, like in the hardcore, hardcore adjacent scene, he's worked with. And I mean, everything's great coming out of him.
I mean, he's doing something right. Those tones are phenomenal. You know, they're
so
really, really good.
He's a magician, honestly.
So you kind of worked with him since you guys signed to Pure Noise?
Yeah. Since 2017, when we were making the demos for ultimately what became Cheer, we were looking for somebody new to record with. We knew he was, you know, doing that stuff. And we were like, well, let's try three songs, send those around. And Pure Noise really liked it. And then I think we were just like, well, he managed to make our singer Pat sound the best he's ever sounded, and so we just figured, you know what, let's just keep going with that. And we've just had great results ever since then.
Man.
So my philosophy, if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it,
man.
You know what I mean?
I actually really appreciate about that about you, because, you know, since you guys signed to Pure Noise, your records are a little more experimental, but it's not a departure from the band.
Right.
It's not
right.
like an OK Computer or something like that.
Right.
I mean, you're going
right.
totally left field on me.
Yeah.
And I already love your band, so that works. It's like, it can grow with me.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah. I think we want to, you know, we want to continue to be Drug Church. And that's, I mean, we're just, I mean, you can tell by looking at our gear and everything, too. It's like, we're just a traditional punk rock band. You know, loud guitars, energy, you know.
Traditional, just touring with the Deftones.
I mean, that's a little crazy, but
it's so cool.
You know, they were gracious enough to take us out.
That's an
and
awesome
thing. It was the easiest tour we've ever done.
Really?
It's the easiest tour. I mean, you just didn't have to lift a finger, which, you know, I mean, we're used to. Like, we load our own gear, like, we do pretty much everything on a tour, other than a few things. But something like that, it's like there's a million hands and, you know, great catering, which is...
Yeah, that's always a plus,
That's the best. That's the best part, honestly.
Not sleeping on a floor is cool.
Right, not sleeping on a floor. Yeah, so, but yeah, yeah. it was...
So I got to ask, how did that come up? Like, was that something Pure Noise worked out for you? Like, they can't fuck up in my eyes right now. Like, they are signing everything I love. And they, from what I can tell, they're really, really great to their bands. It sounds like you guys have had a great experience with them.
Pure Noise has been the best, and they're based out of Nashville now. So
that's right. Yeah.
Great town. Pure Noise has been great. When we signed to the label, they just kind of wanted us to do our thing, and we kind of took that to heart, you know. And I think it's just been kind of a match made in heaven. And yeah, they've got a lot of great bands now. As far as the Deftones thing, that's booking agent, our booking agent Anna in the UK. She just worked her magic, and I think had happened to be with Chino at a festival or something, and he said, who should we take out? And I think she said Drug Church and Denzel Curry, and literally the next week we were saying yes to this. And it was incredible.
What a dream come true.
Yeah,
that is so awesome.
And the Deftones fans come out, especially in the UK, they come out early, which was really, really nice. You know, we weren't sure what to expect on something like
sure.
that, but
yeah, I mean, I would imagine like it might hit Deftones fans as not immediately.
Yeah,
you know, like it is quite a bit different, but it makes sense in the context of a tour, I think.
Well, and they have a lot of like their fan base is like old heads, but then also young kids, and those, you know, the parents are maybe up in the seats, but the kids, like the floor is full. You know, even an hour after doors when we were playing, and they were really excited to see us play, really enthusiastic. Like the fact that we could get anybody to jump around or crowd surf or anything, especially for us because we're so used to, you know, no barrier.
Hardcore audience.
You're going to jump off the stage. You're going to, you know, do all, like, you're going to participate. So for those fans to participate, it was really awesome.
Okay.
It was really awesome.
Yeah. Man, how fun. Well, congrats on that.
Yeah,
that's badass. Also, I just read that you're doing, I think, Australia with Citizen, which is
Australia with Citizen next year. We've done a couple tours with them. We keep saying yes because they're just really awesome people, and they make great music. And it's like one of those things that we've just figured out makes sense.
Yeah.
So
I can see a huge crossover.
Yeah, there's a good crossover. When we toured with them in the States, it was great. Their fans get it. Our fans get them. And we've been trying to go back to Australia for a little while, and they approached us about doing that, and we like immediately I think said yes. Like we fastest things we've ever said yes to, Deftones tour and a Citizen tour. That's
absolutely,
you know, it's just a no-brainer.
So with all the new success, mm-hmm. I'll be done after this and we can get to the gear.
No, it's
but
all
like,
good.
With all the new success that you guys are finding, mm-hmm. how are you still tattooing? Are you still tattooing?
Yeah, I mean, just finding time at home. I don't like to sit still too often.
Yeah, you stay busy.
I try to stay busy. And it's just, for me, that's just another part of the, I don't want to say the artistic mind or whatever, but like it's just another thing I do. And
no, that makes sense.
It's fun. Like I've made a life out of just doing the fun thing. And it's kind of crazy how it's so far worked out.
Yeah, you had a pretty good situation.
It is a pretty good situation.
Next time I'm upstate, I'm going to come get tattooed because that sounds super
I'm down.
Fun.
Yeah.
All right. So since probably like videos for Cheer and even earlier, I think I've only seen you with this one last fall.
This is it. This gets beat up a lot. I've had it for maybe 10 years. I mean, you can see.
Oh yeah, it's got some
when
love.
When I bought it, it had a little bit of wear here. It just gets abused. It gets beat up. We play a lot of different types of venues, a lot of, you know, especially when you're going on tour in the fall, you know, one day you could be playing sweaty, swampy Florida. The next, you know, day later, you're up in the Midwest somewhere, like upper Midwest, and it's 30 degrees. So, yeah. So it just gets beat up.
Do you feel like it's pretty stable considering? I mean,
yeah, this is a stable guitar. I've had really no problems other than like the pickup selector getting screwed up. You know, I've had it replaced a couple of times. I feel like I've a couple of times taken it someplace and, you know, they put the cheap one in and it doesn't last very long, but I've kind of gotten in over the years. I get better at switching not so violently.
Sure. Well, speaking of, are you switching pickups a lot?
A few times in the set, mostly when I'm using like my Phase 90. It's just, you know, it screams when you turn it on. So I'll maybe go middle position.
Gotcha.
Like occasionally. Sometimes I like to get rowdy and just leave it.
Just go for it.
Yeah.
What year is this Les Paul?
This is a 77.
I was going to say, cause the volute.
Yes. It's got a big, ugly volute.
It's not ugly, man. That thing keeps your neck from breaking.
Yeah. I mean, that's never going to break or it's going to break somewhere else.
You can frame a house with it.
Yeah. It's not the heaviest Les Paul I've ever played, but it might be like,
cause some of those late 70s, especially like the pancake bodies are.
Yeah. Heavy. Yeah. This is not too bad. I had another one, actually bought this one, with money that I got from an airline for losing my guitar. So shout out to Iceland Air for losing my guitar. But I had previously a 1980 standard, also tobacco burst, you know, no volute on it, great guitar. Put it on an airplane, we flew to Europe, and when we got to Frankfurt Airport or whatever, went through, you got to go through the customs and all that.
Sure.
And all of our stuff was in one spot and my guitar wasn't there. So and this is the days before, you know, air tags and all that stuff. So we were never really able to track it down. It's somebody in Germany is rocking on it, hopefully. But I ended up, this came from Guitar Center in Hollywood.
Oh, wow. That's a fun Guitar Center.
It is. Yeah. There's always great guitars in there. Nick and Chris had happened to be there like right after the tour ended, they flew home.
What did you do in the meantime? So you show up, no guitar.
Well, I mean, we're on tour with Every Time I Die. So they were nice enough to just be like, here, you know, use one of our guitars. Sure. So I used a guitar, Gibson. We were able to get a loaner from Gibson for the tour that I ended up using for, it was like a two and a half week, three week tour, whatever. They gave us a loaner, and then the last show I dropped it and broke the headstock. But
sorry, Gibson.
But no, they were cool about it. So I got by. It wasn't perfect, but Nick happened to be in the Hollywood Guitar Center, and he called me up and he said, they've got a guitar that looks, you know, looks and plays just like your old one. And
Bob's your uncle.
That's it. Yeah. And I went online and immediately had it, you know, shipped to, I was living in Syracuse at the time, had it
Sorry
shipped
about
there.
That. Yeah,
yeah. Worst winter of my life. And then, so this, I don't know. I'm just like, I don't change part of the rig too often. So like I play this probably 95% of the time. Occasionally I get a wild hair up my ass and I play the other guitar.
The Paul. I'll get some B-roll for you guys.
Yeah.
The Paul.
That's also great,
if you break a string or something.
Right. Yeah. Okay. If I break a string, which is not very often, I'm changing strings. We're all changing strings probably every two shows or something like that. So, like this, and I get this set up like all the time, just because it gets played so much that.
Well, and with fluctuations and flights and temperatures and stuff.
Yeah, you put it. Yeah, every so often it gets set up at home.
It's funny because the action on that thing looks remarkably low.
Yeah.
Like it's
one
of those fretless wonders, right?
I've had it.
Have you ever had it refretted?
It's gonna need a refret.
I was gonna say, you're getting close, dude.
We're getting close. Yeah, my friend Tyler, who sets up my guitars for me, he recently filed them down a little bit. But it's gonna need it. But like, I'm playing like, you know, 52 to 10s on strings, super low. So, and I abuse it a lot.
Yeah,
so,
you guys are a very bendy band.
So yeah, there's a lot of, you know, so yeah, frets get a little messed up. But the guitars are supposed to be played.
It's a tool, man.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Speaking of strings, you guys have had a relationship with Ernie Ball for quite a while, right?
Oh, yeah. Long time, well over 10 years. They've just, my buddy Tim, who actually I grew up with back home, he moved out to LA, was working at Ernie Ball. Our band started kind of getting rolling, and he said, you know,
let me hook it up.
You guys want some cheaper strings? And, you know, so we use, I mean, I love these straps. I've never had a problem with these straps, you know. Guitar always stays on. I've got, you know, we'll use volume pedals, and sometimes you get picks and cables, all kinds of stuff from them. A lot of that stuff that I feel like gets more abused too, you know, like you always got to have a backup cable because things always get stepped on.
Yeah, I mean, and especially with your live show, there's it's
chaos, and you have to kind of, you have to have your head on a swivel at times to not run into somebody.
Well, but, good thing it's not a pointy headstock guitar.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right, cool. So I've also, I think, only seen this 800 with you on stage, and it's very, very identifiable.
Yeah. Obviously,
No Tolex. So.
This thing's crazy. I bought it like that.
Oh, okay.
I didn't do that to it, but this was actually an eBay purchase.
Oh, wow. So before you didn't even play it before you bought it?
I did not. You shouldn't do this, but I bought it sight unseen. Don't do this, kids. No, but I bought it like that. I said, oh, it looks crazy.
Yeah.
And I love like weird, unique shit. And so bought it, got it home, took it to my amp guy, had it, you know, we looked over it, and remarkably, the inside, very well-maintained, very clean. There was one mod to it that somebody must have reversed, probably tried to do a, like an effects loop or something. But it was actually very well maintained on the inside, and I basically just had it retubed and rebiased, and the rest is history.
I gotta be honest, dude, you got really lucky.
Yeah.
That's kind of a ballsy thing to do.
Yeah,
but also that's like one of the best sounding 800s I've ever fucking heard. Actually, can we let the audience hear it really quick?
Oh, yeah. Little.
Thick.
It's loud.
It's thick.
Thick
as molasses, dude. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's... I mean, the Orange Cab V30s really helps.
Sure, which those are beefy-ass cabs.
Yeah, right? This, to me, this is the combo. I love Marshalls, too. But I happen to have an opportunity to get this cab for, like, stupid cheap. And I took it. And I just think that combo, early 80s 800, I mean, I think that's a 81. That's a first year 800. So, just, it works. And we're just, I don't know, we're a loud band on stage.
Yeah.
And
yeah, your soundtrack was pretty loud.
Yeah.
Speaking of loud in that cold ass maple syrup tone, just being so thick.
Mm.
Tube Screamer's got to be like an always on, huh?
Tube Screamer's always on. I have a Iron Horse where this thing is basically a rat, has the LM308 chip. I'm basically running it, you know, you have a couple of different clipping options. I'm just middle position. Whatever.
Are those different options, different versions of the rat?
Yeah, I mean, one side is probably silicone.
Okay, gotcha.
And and one side is, you know, germanium or whatever. Sure. Middle position, I don't know what that is.
Maybe
doesn't
it's a little split. Down
yeah,
the middle?
Doesn't it? That's
and that's where you live.
Yes, I just live like right down the middle of the road with it.
No, is that always on as well, or is this
always? Okay. Yeah, always on. I'll, you know.
That explains why that 800 yeah. is so good to me.
Yeah. I mean, everything's, you know, things are cranked. I basically tube screamer, you know, level. I've got like halfway drive, non-existent.
Barely. Okay.
Like,
yeah.
And
so
then,
that's more of a boost than anything.
It's yeah, just I'm okay. just yeah, yeah. It just boosts things a little bit better. And then, yeah, with the Iron Horse, this is the if we want to get technical, that's the version 2 Iron Horse. I have a version 3, but the only difference is your clipping options. It's a knob instead of a switch. I just like this one better because. To me, the less things that can get jostled on stage, the better.
A tiny little knob.
Right, or you know, something to fall off. So I like to keep things really simple. And yeah, this, you know, a lot of things, it's mostly just noon, you know?
Yeah.
Tone a little bit off, you know, a little bit less. But yeah, mostly straight up. And then, yeah, the you know, turn some knobs on the head.
Man,
set it and forget it.
I gotta be honest, like for as modulation heavy your records are and you guys are live, there's not a ton. I expect you guys to have like fucking self-aware giant pedal boards, to
no,
be honest. Like,
yeah, no. I mean, a lot of that, I think, I don't know. Live, it's a different animal. And, you know, in the studio sometimes you get into...
Playing with everything.
With everything. And, you know, like Nick's got, he's got a lot of like chorus on and things like that at a lot of, most of the time. So, if not all the time. And yeah, me, I just keep it more just, you know, Marshall type of tone. Yeah.
No, I think they work really, they work really, really well together.
Yeah, I think it goes well together. Things blend together in a cool way and it's, if you're here, you maybe get a different experience if you're here versus over there in the crowd. But yeah, when it all comes together, because I'm more, you know, Les Pauls and Marshalls and jazz masters and, you know, Jason. Jazz chorus.
So, I mean, as far as modulation goes, you really just have the Phase 90, the Julia, and the Freeze kind of is what I would consider.
The Freeze, and... Yeah, I may be changing to something different at the end of this because the Freeze pedal, when I'm turning the Phase, you know, accidentally you turn something on.
Sure.
And the Freeze really, it likes to hold that one note.
That's a very jarring accident.
Yeah. And you know, if you turn that on and because that's the only way I use it is latch.
Yeah.
And I just have it set kind of... like 10 o'clock basically. That's more for like in between song ambiance or whatever. But you know, there are parts in the set where I have to turn it off very quickly and that can get a little bit confusing because if you're making any kind of noise while you've got it on latch and you hit it again, it's gonna also hold that. So then you've got two things happening, you know, and it's just a lot of, you got to reach down. So it's kind of a pain in the butt, but it gets the job done. But yeah, and then really just Julia chorus. There's like two spots in the set where I use that.
If I'm not mistaken, the Julia is like a chorus verb or something? There's another thing happening?
You have a couple of different options on it. I use it as a chorus. And this is something on my board that's kind of probably changed a few times. I have a bunch of different chorus pedals. Like I have the old DOD.
Oh, wow.
You know, the bright blue one. I've got, I don't know, like electro harmonics and stuff like that. But I keep changing my mind. And this is what's on here now. But I use it as a chorus. And yeah, it's really, you have a... like a vibrato, and I guess it has a delay
right
option too. but I just use it straight up as a chorus. And for me, there's only like I use it a little bit in Demolition Man, and I use it like at the beginning, like on this tour we're playing Hey Listen, and I use it very much at the beginning, just a little bit of roll back on the volume, hit the first chord, and then, you know.
Well, considering Nick is kind of covering the chorus thing pretty good, can we hear it?
Yeah.
Just to see how it's different, maybe?
Yeah, it's a little more, well, you know, I'll go a little. You know.
It's not annoying.
It's subtle, and I keep it tasteful on that, but it's just adds a little bit of color in certain spots, but I find like with what I'm playing a lot of times, like I'm playing a lot of beefier chords and stuff like that, and it's like that kind of gets lost anyway, so you know, there's only a few really minor spots I use it, but yeah. And then the Phase 90, I feel like that's my pedal.
It's fun. Those are fun.
That's a fun one to throw on. And
if you have the rate so low,
it's all the way down. I love a pedal that's just one knob.
Oh, me and you
know,
both, yeah.
And that's like, to me, like there's like one spot, like I mostly use it like that all the way down. And then maybe at the end of the set, if I'm feeling a little loose, there's a spot where I'll turn it on, like during weed pin, kind of at the end, I'll turn it on and I'll
just let it get
just crank it just to get crazy. And other than that,
man, the last cookie in the jar is the NS2. And I know obviously you're going to have to run some noise suppression considering
you've got
two gain pedals going on at once.
Well,
and an 800 screen.
Yeah, like, you know, you're not hearing anything now, but
yeah.
So
do you feel like my beef with specifically the NS2, because I've tried a lot of different suppressors, and you know, they can kind of suck your tone, or like it's more of a feel thing for me, like a reaction thing. Does that running so much that it's not bothering you?
I most of the time I have it set,
it's pretty conservative,
you know. I have it set like threshold, like I don't have it all the way up,
right?
I've got the decay pretty low. I can still get, like, we're, you know, a lot of the live show too, there's a lot of feedback and in, you know, trying to do things like that. So I can still, I can still get feedback with that if I want to. I just find certain venues are worse than others as far as like that kind of goes. And so I have the option to turn it on and off throughout the set if I want to. If I'm trying to, like, if there's a spot where I need it to be really tight, maybe it's on, and you know, and then I'm doing some crazy, you know, I basically just run the Tube Screamer and the Iron Horse into that, like it, you know.
Sure.
So everything else is not in that circuit or whatever, it seems to work. I didn't have one for a long time. Nick didn't have one for a long time. They've kind of like come back on both of our boards, and I seem to get good results out of it, and he does too. So, I mean, it just
I mean, it stays. Sounds incredible.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey man,
you.
I really appreciate you taking the time to walk us through all this stuff.
No problem.
I'm excited for the show.
Thank you.
I'm excited to get tattooed, man.
Oh yeah, let's go.
Thanks for watching, guys. Stay tuned for more rig rundowns, riff rundowns, all that fun stuff. Later.